There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
George Tolley alongside me while we're having this conversation. So, there I was having a conversation with my daughter the other day. They are few and far between, so I make the most of them when they happen. But she came up with a really moot point. So, the situation had occurred. There had been a classroom environment. They were being asked to name and roll out the six wives of Henry VIII, which, as we've just discussed in the build-up to this show, is something that most of us are taught, certainly in the British syllabus, certainly in other syllabuses the world over. And it's something that you learn without really thinking about, you just without questioning. A classmate of hers basically questioned the reason in the class and said, why are we learning the six wives of Henry VIII? Why are we not learning how to fill in a tax form or to fill out a check or to make a transaction online or something like that? Something a little more practical as opposed to historical fact, which is a good question because, we're encouraging students to question the norm, and anyone who comes up and is inquisitive should be applauded and encouraged and nurtured rather than said, no, that's the wrong answer. The right answer I'm looking for is the six names of Henry VIII, or not his names, the six names of the wives of Henry VIII. But equally, again, is that information, maybe one day in a quiz you're going to be asked that question, or maybe one day around a dinner table you can wow your friends by rolling off the six names of, but is it going to impact your life?
So the reason why this little tyke standing up in class, the reason why you learn the wives of Henry VIII is not because of the fact that he had lots of wives. It's the fact that he completely changed British history and the church system and the political system in order to get a second wife. And this child is completely missing the point that you name the first six wives, but then you go into a conversation as you get older, they're only 13, as you get older to discover why those things happened. And if you have an understanding of how the entire political system in Britain changed under Henry VIII, then you're ready to start learning about politics and you're learning about law. And you build from that very simplistic knowledge an idea of argument and frameworks for governance, which are way more advanced and sophisticated, and that's what you go on to do in your A levels or your baccalaureate,
and IB.
Then IB, and then at university. So, yeah, this tyke standing up and all like, oh, I don't think I should be learning this. He's wrong. He's completely wrong. There is, however, an argument about being made work ready and whether or not we are encouraging our children to be ready for the workplace and whether or not there should be classes about how to do, you know, write your CV and do interview techniques and things like that. But the boy who says that you shouldn't learn Henry VIII's wives, he's just too young. He just doesn't understand that it's the first step of a much broader educational theme.
One thing I am very conscious of is that we live in a part of the world where there are numerous syllabuses that are being learnt in a variety of different international schools. So be it British syllabus, be it other syllabus, be it IB. The same sort of question applies. In what is being taught to your children or to children that you know, is it relevant today or does it need a complete shake-up? We're going to be talking to educators a little later in proceedings. We're going to be hearing from parents, but most fundamentally I want to be hearing from you. Let's go to line number three and say good morning to Sajuti, who's joining us live on the line now. Good morning, Sajuti.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well indeed. Is it relevant to the next generation to know about historical wives?
My view on this is that it is important to learn history because we learn from our mistakes in the past for the future. But I think, I feel that 85% of the jobs that are existing in the market today are not going to be there, when my daughter grows up in another 15, 20 years. And by just, letting them get through these motions of learning and then spewing it out during examinations is not going to help them. They need to be information is available on the fingertips today. Mm. You can just Google for anything. It's how you use that information and what it is being used for that is most important. So I feel that current education system is just teaching for passing examinations, and that is not going to help our children in the future.
It's interesting. You bring up an interesting point there, that whole process. And you know, a lot of commentators will look at the education system and say it hasn't really changed fundamentally for what the past 100 years or so. The way that we're educating is still fundamentally the same. So as you're saying, is it that what we're challenging students to do is recall facts? And if they get those
yes.
facts right, then they get a tick and they get another percent on their mark.
Exactly. So they are being asked to recall unrelated facts in their life and spew it together on a piece of paper or online examinations, whatever that happens these days. But how do you connect these bits of information and make it relevant for you as an individual? I'm not certain that is actually happening in real life today.
And again, I suppose the point that you make earlier, which I think is valid, is that this philosophy predates the digital age that we live in, where if somebody wants to know the six wives of Henry VIII, you Google it straight away.
Yes, you do. And as Georgia said, it is important to know because it is just the basis of the political system and what happened at that point in time. Completely understand that. But it will be too far back in history and things would have changed so many times over. For example, you take the CIS countries today. The borders have changed so many times that even if you ask the children to remember what countries existed, say, 20 years ago or pre-World War, and what happened, what is happening today, you know, there is a huge difference. So what are we actually asking our children to remember? Information is available. How you use that information is, and how you use it wisely, is what I think the education system should be concentrating on now.
If you had to pick a subject to add to the curriculum, what would it be?
Mm-hmm. Artificial intelligence at a very, very, you know, from year one, year two onwards.
And do you mean sort of learning how to code, or just learning what it means, or
everything? Why can't we have coding at a young stage these days? We have artificial intelligence in our homes today. We have Alexa turning on the lights as we walk into a room. What is wrong with them learning to code? Because I think as they grow up, that is going to be one very key thing. No matter what job you do, you would need to have some knowledge about technology in every sphere of life.
Good thoughts, Sir Judy. Thanks so much indeed to you for joining us this morning. Sir Judy joining us from Dubai Land this morning, giving us a good starting point on today's talk. We're asking, what do you think we should be learning in schools? And, you know, even not just in schools, at all ages of schools, what about universities as well? What should we be learning at the moment? There is a big school of thought out there at the moment that everybody should be learning an element of coding. Is that something that you would concur with? If so, then do, as I said, share your thoughts with us. Getting an educational perspective next. Lots of people having their say on the subject, and that's much appreciated. This from a parent out there. Just a quick reminder, you don't have to put your name with your text messages or your calls. You can do so anonymously if you wish. But this one from a parent saying, it doesn't matter how many wives a British king, a German king, or a Nigerian king for that matter had. No memorization needed. IB has none of this. See, this is what I think might happen now. We might get into this sort of battle between syllabuses and IB. But I think the main tenet that we're looking here, or the main question we're asking, is this idea of the way we educate and what we educate more specifically. Does that need to be rethinked at the moment? As a number of leading and influential individuals have suggested.
Absolutely. I think the idea of being work ready, which apparently the Finnish school system has changed to less do the traditional subjects and more to teach along a theme. So we're not doing chemistry and maths. We're doing, you know, we're looking into atomic energy, for example. And when that way you teach both. And I'm really keen on this idea that you learn how to do, you learn how to present your place in the world of work. So learning how to do interviews, learning how to write your CV, I think those are the skills that children at the moment aren't being taught.
This one's from Andy Hayes. He's just texted saying, I use stuff I learnt in school every day. At no point have I ever thought of it as a waste. Was there stuff I learnt that I don't use? Sure. Is there someone in my school who now uses that? Very likely. Do educators have a crystal ball to know who needs to know what? Absolutely no. Thank you very much indeed, Andy, for that one. He's just mentioned educators there, and I think that's a good time for us to go to our first educator of the show. Let's talk to the principal of DBS, which is the Dubai British School, a Talim school here in the region. Brendan Fulton, friend of the show, joins us live on the line. Morning, Brendan.
Morning, Tom. Good to speak to you.
Nice little sort of point there to pick up on from Andy as he texted in. The question that he finished with on his text message was, do educators have a crystal ball to know who needs to know what? No, as he put to that. And I suppose that's one way of looking at it. It's difficult for educators, for those that design syllabuses, for those that go about the process of education, to know what specific information is going to inspire certain individuals.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a very good point. And, it's difficult for anybody. It's easy for us to say that nobody needs to know the name of Henry VIII's wives, etc. But the fact is we don't really know what people need to know. So I think some people are missing the point in so much as the context or the content matters far less than the actual skills being taught. So when we're teaching children, we're teaching them how to learn more than anything. And in a sense, whether they're learning about the wives of Henry VIII or something else, I won't say it's irrelevant, but it's far less important than the fact that they're actually learning the skill of how to learn, how to solve problems, how to analyze, how to make decisions, and essentially how to become independent learners themselves, making their own decisions.
I think one thing we need to, and I need your help here, Brendan, is just to reiterate to a number of people who are getting involved in this conversation at the moment that might not have been in a school environment for a while. They might not have children, and therefore they might not really understand the evolution that education is going through at the moment. You are very much at that coalface and have been for many years now. Is it a rapid evolution? Is it something that you as an educator and the industry as a whole are very conscious of?
Very much so, but I think perhaps there's parts of education that are evolving rapidly, and there are parts that aren't, and perhaps there are parts that need to, and there's parts that don't need to. So, for example, the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, they're still the fundamental skills involved in all education, regardless of the curricula. And again, the context in which those are practiced and really matter far less than actually what the students are learning. But the real shift that we've seen in education is a focus on the lifelong skills that we expect students to come out with. So even in the British education system, GCSE and A-level exams are far less focused on the content. They're far less focused on recitation of knowledge learned and far more focused on how students demonstrate an understanding. So the idea that students are developing problem-solving skills, they're learning how to think critically, they're learning how to make responsible decisions, they're learning how to take a wealth of information which they do have at their fingertips and use it responsibly, there's been a massive shift towards that direction. And even within our local context, where the moral education syllabus has now been introduced, which again is a move away from the content and a move towards helping students make socially responsible decisions.
Interesting little phrase that you use there. I just want to pick up on think critical being one of the sort of buzzwords at the moment. I'm going to throw another sort of buzzword or buzz name into the mix, Elon Musk. Now, when he comes out with quotes like, I hated going to school when I was a kid, and saying that I'm not getting anything from formal education, so I'm going to start my own school for my kids with a different approach. When you've got him saying that on one hand, and yet at the same time getting billions of hits and being held up as a great sort of leader of the future or of now, is he a help or a hindrance to the education system?
I think he's both, depending which perspective you're looking at it from. I think it's difficult to keep students motivated, but he is a classic example of how traditional education isn't for everybody. We always use people like him as an inspiration to students to find their own niche. And I think good school leaders would welcome students like the one who said, why are we learning about the wives of Henry VIII? Why aren't we learning about something more useful? you know, we can't pay lip service to the fact that we're teaching students to think critically and to make responsible decisions and then stamp them down when they do start thinking critically. So I think that it certainly has its place, but what you want students to do, what you want young children to do, is to be able to look at different examples and find out where they fit. And you can only do that when you give them the breadth that a good education should be giving them.
It's interesting, just to pick up on that sort of personal experience I had with my daughter, and I was saying, look, you know, what would you like to replace said history lesson with? And this is coming from a dad who went on to study history and everything like that and encouraged his children to learn as much history as they can. I'm failing on that front. But she said, you know, life skills, Dad, would be good. You know, something to do with life skills, to which I came back to her and said, okay, what life skills would you like to learn? And she said, I don't know, something like... how to properly straighten your hair. And I went, that's when I sort of lost it in the car and nearly drove off the road. Because, again, I suppose that comes back to that thing. Whilst, you know, one of her classmates wants to know how to do an online bank transaction, she really wants to know how to straighten her hair. And yet, surely that is something you learn later on in life.
Yeah, well, it's a very relevant point. I mean, there are life skills and they're life skills. But the idea that... some children don't find history fascinating or interesting is completely normal, because, you know, some children don't find maths fascinating or interesting, and some do. The fact of the matter is that history gives people context, and life skills are developed from what people have done in the past. So being able to reflect on where we come from helps us think about where we're going. But certainly, again, nobody really can predict what life skills people are going to need, and we wax lyrical often about developing students for jobs that won't yet exist. And of course, the market will be very different when the students that are in school today have graduated. But what we are doing is we're looking at developing students that are able to think for themselves, what is important to me, what is my passion, and do I have the skill set within me to be able to develop that and be successful in it.
Maybe one of the stumbling blocks here at the moment, I'm going to get your thoughts on this, is the fact that we've started this conversation using history as an example to debate this topic. Because obviously, one person's history is not another person's history, and in a melting pot like the UAE, is that one of the challenges that the British history of kings and queens of the United Kingdom, is that going to have the same impact on other cultures? And again, is that one of the challenges that you and educators down at DBS face in terms of which history appeals to who?
Very much so, and we find a big difference between students that come here from a very British background, perhaps recently come from the UK, and students that don't, in terms of their understanding of where they fit into society and where the British traditional system fits into society. So it is a challenge, but again, you're looking for students to develop breadth. You're looking for them to be able to reflect on something and consider things from their own perspective. So we have a lot of latitude within schools. The British curriculum is not restrictive at all. So we can provide whatever context we want to provide in terms of developing the skills we do in our students, and in a British education system that is very much about, again, but the example of history, teaching them about British history and enlightening them in terms of the past of the British Empire, etc., but also juxtaposing that with many other civilizations and many other countries so that they're able to draw their conclusions and consider different sets of beliefs, different understandings, different philosophies, different systems.
Last one from me, Brendan. You know what's coming, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Name the six wives of Henry VIII.
I wouldn't even try to.
Good on you, exactly. I failed abysmally a little earlier on today. So, listen, really kind of you to come on. Thank you very much indeed. I hope everything's going well at DBS, and we'll be catching up with you soon. Thanks, Brendan.
Anytime, Tom. Take care.
Brendan Fulton, Principal, Dubai British School, joining us live on the line, 4001. Go on, try it. If you've just tuned in and you haven't, name the six wives of Henry VIII. Don't look at Google. Don't just try and prove that you're a know-it-all or anything like that. Just see if you can do it. We're using that as one of the reasons to ask the question, does it really matter? Do we need to have to rethink about the way that we educate and what we educate?
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.